Hello everyone, welcome to this episode of Paddock Pass, the podcast where we talk all things motorsport. I'm your host, Evie Spencer, an aspiring motorsport journalist from the UK, and you can follow me on TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Evie Spencer Motorsport. Make sure to follow my socials and this podcast for lots of motorsport content. Hope you enjoy! Okay, so today I'm here with Chloe. Chloe, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Chloe Grant. I'm an 18-year-old racing driver and I'm currently competing in the GB4 Championship.
Perfect. So how did you get started in motorsport?
I started back in 2013 when I was only 7 years old. And the reason that I started was because my older sister, Lucy, she was racing karts at the time, and I was kind of the annoying little sister that was just watching her and following her about. And then in 2013, I decided that I wanted to have a shot. So I asked my dad and he bought me my own kart, and then I've never stopped since.
So what was that like in karting? Like, how did that progress into you getting into cars and stuff?
So I did, obviously, like in karting, you progress through the different categories based off your age and sometimes even just your weight if you're like ridiculously tall and need to move up early. So I started in Honda Cadets and I did that from 2013 all through to and up till 2016. In 2017 I moved up to Minimax, and that's when I started to take it a lot more seriously because it was such a faster kart and I fell in love with the speed more because in that category. And then I won my first championship in Minimax, and then I did that for 2 years, and then 2019 I moved up to Junior Max, and then we were going all over the UK and not just Scotland and getting even more competitive. And so I did that for 2 years, and then in 2021 I was planning on doing the British Championship in karting, but I was given the opportunity to enter into a scholarship for cars, so I just did it not thinking I'd win it. I just thought it'd be a good experience. And then obviously we got tested on like physical, mental, driving, all the kind of different aspects you need to for cars. And I was very lucky to win the scholarship. So that was for the GSCC, which is the Junior Sloan Car Championship. And that obviously helped me make the move up to cars, because without winning that, I think me and my dad were quite stuck as to how we would have made the move up. So that really helped me get into the world of cars and learn all of the UK car circuits to prepare me for my future. And then in 2022, I was going to do a second year of that championship, but I was given a huge opportunity by Laser Tools Racing to move into GB4 with them. So there was no chance I was saying no. I went in very unprepared. I didn't have a lot of testing underway, so I didn't perform well at all in GB4 in 2022. But it was still good to get that first year of single seaters under my wing. And then thought I was going to do a second year of that to have more of a push year. And I got given the opportunity by ART Grand Prix to go into F1 Academy for 2023. Again, probably a year too soon for me. All the girls were just so unbelievably more experienced than I was, and I really struggled, but I'm so grateful that I got to be in the first year of the championship, and everything that I know now I learned from ART Grand Prix. So yeah, it was incredible. And obviously now I'm back in GB4 to try and get that second push year that I missed out last year. And yeah, hopefully we can get better results than we previously did, which we already have done at round one.
I think that's honestly, it's just the amount of stuff you've done and you've progressed so quickly as well. That's what's absolutely shocked me, because you see people, they like usually have about 2 years in the championship, but you've just moved up so quickly. I think that's awesome.
Quickly, but I learned.
I think when you've thrown in it, because motorsport is just getting thrown into stuff, isn't it? And just having to deal with it. So I think you've done well at that as well. So you were part of the first year of F1 Academy. For anyone who didn't know, it is a all-female motorsport series. So can you tell us more about kind of how this was different to any other? Because all-female, it's obviously, there's that different, but I'm assuming there'll be other stuff as well.
I think it's definitely more different this year than compared to last year, speaking to the drivers that are still in it and I'm quite close with. Last year it was like a normal championship, like the teams chose you signed, you drove with them, like that's like what happens at any other championship. Obviously the things that make it so unique is the fact that it's an all-female championship, and the fact that it's quite affordable. I know some people look at the price and still think in real life terms it is crazy money, but in motorsport terms we should probably be paying 7 times what we're paying to do this championship. Like it is unbelievably cheap to actually do in single seater and international terms. So it's incredible that it's giving, like, girls like me, for example, like my family. I mean, we're lucky to be in the position we're in, but we're not at all rich. We can't afford the racing that we're actually doing, and that's why I'm so grateful to all my sponsors that are on board with me, like the Laser Tools Racing, John Clutter Motor Group, and Specsavers, and John Miller Transport. Like, I'm just so grateful to all of them, because without them, we genuinely wouldn't be able to do it, because it's just not affordable for us. But F1 Academy being such a lower budget compared to other F4 categories, it made it more possible for us to raise the budget, and it gave me a brilliant opportunity to go international, which we didn't expect to ever do, let alone that soon. I was only 17. So yeah, it was pretty unbelievable. Like I said, I learned everything from ART. I mean, the first couple of tests were pretty difficult because ART had never run F4 cars before, but you know, they're very successful. They won F2 last year, and they've won Formula Regional, and they've won F3. They've won everything, basically. They're so good. So we knew that they would get up to pace quickly, but it definitely took a while for me to get adjusted to the car as I was trying to report back to them what we need to do differently. It was quite difficult the first three probably test days, but once we got into the swing of things, they started to kind of teach me everything that I needed to know, and I was quite struggling with that. I mean, I was quite immature as well, like as a person and as a driver. I hadn't been in such a mature environment before as well, where I couldn't rely on my family. I had to just be independent and learn with and from my team. So for example, I started doing a lot of things on my own, like I'd fly on my own and my family would stay home so I could actually just learn on my own. And which is what I do now. Like when I was at round one at Ulton this season, it was just my sister that came. My dad didn't come and my mum didn't come. I was like, just let me, because I was feeling quite a lot of pressure. So I was like, just let me be on my own. So yeah, I owe so much to ART Grand Prix for everything they taught me and the way that they developed me, because I mean, I wouldn't be able to drive the way that I currently can. There's definitely still a lot of progression I have to do, but I definitely wouldn't be able to have that huge step up. But yeah, last year it was really good. I think it's definitely different this year. Like I know there's a lot more politics involved in decision making on who's in the championship, and it's not as simple as the teams get to choose their drivers. But it's, I mean, Jeddah was really, really interesting. It's nothing like that race was nothing like any races that happened last year. So yeah. And we'll see how the rest of the season goes. But yeah, it's very different now, but I did really enjoy it last year.
Yeah, and I think it's something, obviously, so you were a part of the first year, and I think that's something that will go down in history books. It's so cool. And I feel like it's probably a good experience to have. So you're now in GB4 with Laser Tools. So can you tell me more about that? So you've just had your round one, so tell me how that went.
Yeah, so round one, obviously it's a change of team from who I was with 2 years ago. I'm now with KMR Sport, and KMR are the only team to win the GB4 Championship Team Championship. Like no other team has won the team's championship, and then they won the driver championship last year. So yeah, they're very good. They know what they're doing. And yeah, I settled in with them quite quickly. I think I was quite frustrated and putting a lot of pressure on myself, and they kind of just took my hand and was like, calm down. Like, don't put this pressure on yourself. You've had zero testing. Everyone else here has done ridiculous amount of testing. So just got to do the best you can coming into this weekend. And so yeah, race one was actually, it wasn't like qualifying. I was really annoyed at myself. Race one was okay. I mean, the start was really good. I went from P9 to P6 on lap one, but then the car in front of me into the second chicane broke really, sorry, jumped on his brakes really early, and it was very unexpected. But I was too far away to die for a move. But if I didn't go to the left of him, then I was going to go into the back of him. If I went to the right of him, he would have probably hit me trying to turn into the corner. So I had to use the slip road, which is quite annoying, because then after using the slip road, I dropped back down to like P10, which was frustrating. And then obviously it's quite a short race. It's only 18 minutes, so I had to fight my way through. And then as well, you get in dirty air, which is a horrible feeling. Getting in dirty air behind other cars, especially in this car for some reason, it's just horrible. And I managed to get up to P8, which was okay. I guess it was, yeah, I gained one position, but it wasn't exactly what I wanted. It wasn't the way I wanted to start. I mean, realistically, I'm aiming for, if not top threes, top fives. So yeah, race two was my own fault. I've never driven a race in the wet before, which is ridiculous. For the amount of time I've been in cars, I've never had a wet race. So it's a bit insane. So I think I just need more wet running to get used to it, because I didn't have a lot of confidence myself. And then when I started to build the confidence, I just pushed too hard and I went off. So yeah, and then it was red flagged early anyways. So I think I only got like one or two more laps after I spun, which was frustrating, because if I just kept on, probably would have held my position. So yeah, I just need more wet running. It's as simple as that. I just wasn't good enough in that race. And then race three was really good. I think I was kind of just like screw it at that point. And I was starting P6, and then I went around the outside of two corners into turn one, and then I just dive bombed someone into turn two, and I was in P3 by the second corner. And then it was a safety car, and then we went again. And I mean, to be fair, the overtakes I made to get P1, it were pretty easy because the two cars in front of me made mistakes. Which I feel if you put pressure on someone, they're going to make mistakes. So just kind of did them, and I got into P1 by the start finish straight of after the safety car went in, and I got quite a good lead. But I think I was a bit in my head because I've never led a race like that before, and in cars at least, so it was quite unusual. I was a bit in my head, and I was trying to push, and I've made a few mistakes, and it was really slippery still because the track was still drying. And then the car behind me was as simple as that, last lap. He just got me that, but he was just a bit quicker and he just got me. So yeah, I got P2, which obviously I was quite happy with. P6 to P2. I was frustrated to lose the win, but it is what it is. And hopefully we're just more on it and quicker the next couple of, well, the rest of the rounds to hold that position and keep getting podiums.
Yeah, I think that's so cool as well for your first like time back in GB4, because it's probably a big change from F1 Academy to GB4.
Very big. It's very
Yeah.
big.
So what is the motorsport life like? Because there's probably a lot of travel and training and stuff, so.
Yeah, it's quite stressful if I'm being honest. I mean, especially right now, whilst we're trying to I mean, when you don't have, if you don't have like a manager or something, it's frustrating because you're trying to focus on yourself and your mental and your physical aspects to try and be quicker and better. But then you're also trying to raise the money to do it, so you're also trying to work on sponsorship at the same time, and it takes up every hour of the day. Like, even especially I go to college, and some of my college teachers genuinely do not understand that it literally takes up all of my day, and like it's frustrating because I don't want to fail college, I want to keep on top, but I'm like, but this is my priority, so they are being a bit better now, and they're working with me on it, which is nice. So yeah, it's stressful, but it is good. I mean, and for example, when we get that P2 result, it makes it all so worth it. So yeah, I mean, I enjoy the gym, and honestly, when I'm training, it's not like I'm like, oh, I have to go to the gym. I do enjoy it. So it's almost like kind of taking a breather away from trying to raise the rest of the budget.
I love that. And I think it's probably a lot of chaos, I guess. I feel it always is. But it's good that you're able to kind of balance that. And I think when you do balance that, it's probably worth it, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
So, how do you balance family life and your downtime with motorsport?
I mean, my family are literally my team. So downtime is once we finish the work every day, we'll either take the dog for a walk or just watch TV together. But then we'll probably end up talking about what we need to do tomorrow anyways. So there's not as much downtime as I think we would all like. But yeah, when I get to go home when I can and see them. And yeah, it's more that I go home and then we speak racing, though. There's not really any time when we're not.
I love that. I think it's nice that your family are involved as well. So my mum takes me to all the races that I go and watch. So she's super good with that, and she helps me with all my social media stuff as well. And obviously, being in cars, I'm not a driver. I've never have been. I don't think I could be. I don't think I could handle it. So I think that's really cool that they're all very involved with you, and I think that's so nice. So sponsorship is a difficulty for many drivers. So, how do you overcome this challenge, and what advice could you give to people to overcome that challenge?
It is very difficult, and with any sponsors that I've got, they've either filmed me themselves or I've walked into their office very confidently, or it's been like a friend of a friend. Like, yeah, I've never ever had like a blind call work. Like, I've had so many no's you do not understand. Like, if you just send an email, all the one time, so probably I've had one time where they're like, oh yeah, I might be interested in this, but the rest of the time people are just like, no, we don't want to do it. Unless they meet you face to face, it usually works. So I think if you're confident enough, it's probably better to just call and just try get some sort of a meeting and just meet them in person, or just go in and risk it. Definitely better than sending just an email with a proposal, but always have proposals ready. Like, even make get them printed out quite fancy into a booklet so that when you do get to meet them, you can hand it to them and speak them through it. And obviously, if you're not confident in yourself, not great at speaking to people, Louise Goodman has like a media training thing that you can do, and I recommend it because I did it when I was like 14, and it definitely helped like boost me. And so even just doing interviews and things like this, it definitely helped me to feel more confident and just be able to kind of like talk and be natural rather than feeling a pressure. So yeah, I think it's quite a difficult topic, but I honestly think if you can get in person it's a lot easier, especially if they end up liking you. But over emails, almost, not always, but almost impossible. So yeah, just honestly, just be confident. Do your research, because if you're going in and you don't know what who you're talking to, don't know what they look like, don't know what the business is about, there's no way it's going to work, and then you're just letting yourself down. So just always be prepared and do your research.
Yeah, and I think confidence is key, isn't it? And I think going up to people will always impress them more. And it kind
Yeah,
of
I think it
shock
can be
factor
difficult.
as
Like
well.
even it's difficult. Like even obviously I did it at quite young ages as well. People are like, oh my God, how old are you? And they like that. And it is difficult, but you literally like life's too short. You just have to push through it.
I think that's really good advice. And I've had some people say the same, like, just gotta be confident. And I think that's kind of the main, like, everyone's said the same, you've gotta be confident. So I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
What is your best piece of advice that you would give to someone wanting to be where you are in the future?
I'd say just work as hard as you can. I think as long as you know that you're working to the best ability that you have and you feel you're working harder than your competitors, and even if you're not getting what you want, then there's nothing you can do about it. But if you're like sitting at home, like say you're a driver and you're sitting at home and you're sitting on your phone and you're not training and you're going to race and going, why am I not getting the results? Like, there's no wonder why. You need to be training as hard as you can. And it's some days, like even just normal people who go to the gym will relate to this. Some days you just cannot be bothered to go to the gym. You don't have the motivation. But it's not just about motivation, it's more about discipline. You have to be this disciplined in what you're doing. You need to have a schedule, you need to have a routine so that you're not just go like walking to the gym going, what am I doing today? Have that routine, have that schedule. If you don't have a PT, you need to try and sort it out yourself. Go online. I mean, you know, like TikTok is almost like the new Google now. It tells you so much, and there's so many different creators that can help you now, and you can find more information of what is you need to be doing. And of course, my DMs are always open. Like people can reach out to me quite easily. I do usually respond. So yeah, I think just honestly, just work the best you can, the hardest that you can. Make sure you're doing everything right, researching everything. And yeah, the results do eventually come, even if sometimes it takes a while, the results do come. But if you're not training and you're not getting results, you can't ask why you're not getting the results because it's kind of obvious. So yeah, just do the best you can. Be the best version of yourself as well. I mean, Lewis Hamilton's a great example of that. Like, you can't be, like, for example, you have an incident on the track, you can't be going and swearing and shouting at a driver. You need to be professional. Like, you need to be a good person, essentially. Even if sometimes you're so annoyed at them and it is their complete fault, sometimes when you look back at the footage, it's your fault. You don't, like, you might feel it in the moment, it's not your fault, but you need to take a breath, take a minute, look at it, and then maybe once you know that it is their fault, have a word with them. Like, I've done that before. I've just gone to them about it so we can sort it out. And I'd be like, come on, look, we're like, you know, we're all here to race. No one wants this, wants to pay these bills. Let's just race and have fun. Like, just have a calm conversation. Don't be going wild. So just, yeah, be the best version of yourself and train the best you absolutely
I
can.
love that advice. So, what is your biggest achievement so far?
First podium the other weekend, I guess. I mean, since karting, I've not really had any great success. Like I said, I've never had 2 years because it's been a championship to really prove myself. But yeah, in karting, I won quite a few championships, which is really nice. But yeah, I'd currently say, honestly, that first podium at Ulton a couple of weeks ago, and hopefully I'm going to get that first win this year as well, and then that will be the biggest. So yeah.
I believe in you. I think you can do it 100%. I think as well, P2
Thanks.
on it's okay. I think P2 on your opening weekend as well is absolutely crazy. Like, that's something that you rarely see as well. So that's really cool. So what are your plans for the near future?
Same as every day, training, working on getting more partners on board, focus on driving the best I can with my team, getting the results. And then yeah, I think I'm also honestly, I think we've kind of made the mistake of never really looking far enough ahead. So even like right now, I'm looking at 2025 and seeing what I want to do, what I want to step up to do. And so I'm trying to do that as well, just so I don't do what I've kind of done every year and go into a year unprepared, not knowing what I actually want to do. So I'm trying to think about that already so that I can also get like potential partners in place that maybe want to do that championship with me. So yeah.
What is the dream in motorsport?
I mean, technically, like The dream is basically just to be a professional racing driver, I guess you could say. I can't say in what department because I don't really know. I mean, obviously, every driver wants to say Formula One. I wish I could say that, but I just feel it's an unrealistic expectation. I mean, it's not impossible. I mean, if I perform well enough and I get someone who really believes in me and wants to financially back me all the way there, it's definitely not impossible. So I'm not giving up on that dream yet. But for just now, I mean, I would just say professional racing driver, and we'll see what car championship that's in the future.
If you could have absolutely anything, like nothing is in your way, would it be Formula One or would it be something else?
Definitely be Formula One. If there was no issues and there was no way that we couldn't not do it, yeah, of course it'd be Formula One.
Yeah, I think that's a dream for everyone. And I think, to be honest, what do you think? Do you think women will be in Formula One at any point soon? What do you think about that?
I don't know if I'd say soon. I'm hoping within the next 10 years. I don't know. It's not just the fact that it's women, it's the fact that such a small amount get into it. I mean, for example, Theo Pocher won F2 last year and he's not in it. Like, it's so difficult. So we'll just have to wait and see. Such a small amount of even male drivers are getting in it currently, and people have been on reserve for years and years and years. So we're just gonna have to wait. I think it's gonna be a while, but hopefully a girl that's good enough that gets through F2 and shows the results, someone gives her the opportunity.
Yeah, I think as well. I think people like Sophia Flersch in F3 are definitely helping that movement, and kind of Jessica Hawkins as well, who did the Aston Martin F1 test. I think that's definitely a helping show that women can do it. It's just, I agree with you 100%. I don't think it's the fact that it's women. I think that it's just, there's not many people that get into it at all. And people are chucked out so quickly of Formula One. I mean, you saw Nick de Vries last year. Daniel Ricciardo might be leaving this year. It's very difficult. I totally agree with you there. So, who are your motorsport heroes?
Lewis Hamilton, 100%. Of course, of all time, going to be Ayrton Senna, no doubt. But yeah, currently, definitely Lewis Hamilton. I've looked up to him my whole life.
I think as well, what he does it off the track as well is definitely it's really
Yeah,
inspiring
exactly.
as well, isn't it? He does so much more with his kind of, I
His
want to say
platform.
power, but that's not the right word. Yeah, his platform, exactly. And finally, my last question that I ask to everyone, if you could get a paddock pass to any race in the world, where would you go?
That's a good question. Oh, there's so many options. I'm trying to think. I really like Zandvoort, but then the weather is a risky decision. I do really like Zandvoort. Oh no. Oh wait, Brazil, 100%. Yeah, Brazil.
Ah, okay. I've not had Brazil before. Is there any particular reason why Brazil? Or is it
I just
just.
think the racing is so good there. Also, the track is incredible. Like, I'd love to drive that circuit. Yeah, and the racing is just so good. And I also think there's lots of like historical things that have happened there. So yeah, definitely Brazil.
I like Brazil, and 100%. I think it would have to be. I feel like for me, Brazil would be up there, but my top 100% would be Spa
Okay,
because I'm just like, I love it. And I've never been to a Formula One race before. And I feel like if I was going to go, it would be Spa, 100%. So thank you for coming on the podcast.
No worries.
Thank you for listening to the Paddock Pass podcast with me, Evie Spencer. Make sure to follow this podcast for more episodes and head over to my socials for more motorsport content.